Are there any questions? Discussion? Laura?
Can you talk about the difference in the colors of the ropes?
The difference in the colors of the robe. It's just a matter of choice. It's usually a version of brown. And as you can see, there are many different ways you can say brown. Mm-hmm. You can find a brown. It's been always very interesting to see what people find, what the differences are. Yeah. This one. When I made this one, I was told just the most basic story, which is that in Buddhist time he would send his disciples who asked to join him. He would just say, yes, you can, and please go and gather up all the fabric that everybody has thrown away. The fabric that you find in the ditches, the fabric that you find in the burning ghats where they have wrapped up dead bodies, all the things that, the really yucky stuff that nobody wants. And wash it and dye it brown, dye it the color of the earth, and then quilt it together in the shape of the fields that you can see from the top of the mountain where they used to meet. So there's, you could still see it if you go up there. It's exactly the same. They're great long green fields and these little strips, because the land gets divvied up with the children and their children and their children, so it's in strips like this. And it's all hand-sewn. And of course, since it's old fabric, they were always one of their few items that they were allowed to carry was a needle and thread for keeping it together, and also money, enough money to for their funeral. So it's a very modest, very, very modest thing. And when I went out, I thought, well, that's all I know. So I just got the cheapest brown cotton I could find. And I didn't even know what brown meant. I had no idea. Colvin just said, some earth color. And I thought, well, Georgia O'Keeffe had green earth, yellow earth. I love that, her painting. So then I thought, no, Annabelle, be sensible. So I just got this cheap brown fabric and took it up to Green Gulch to sew with Blanche. And I brought it out and people just couldn't believe it. And I didn't know what they were so amazed by. But they were saying, you're having brown fabric like the likes of you. So then I realized that it's considered very special. It's not special. It's just one more come down. I'm sorry. So. No, I'm not sorry at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, you warned us. More than once.
I did.
Many times.
Yes, yes, you were warned. So that's how it comes about.
A come down how?
Well, it's more responsibility, you could say, just in a practical sense. You're taking on the authorization to teach and to ordain people, so that it's a very heavy responsibility, really. And it's not an easy job. So it's it's nothing light. It's, and yet at the same time, it's a very wonderful thing. It's a sort of metaphor of that earth that we've been talking about, and Dogen's talking about. The Buddha is the earth. And this is the earth. So it's a great help in doing this, to be enrobed in this way. It's a tremendous help, really. It carries us. Dennis?
One step closer to being able to clean the toilets.
Oh, it's too late for that. They've done that already. Oh, you have to clean the toilets long before you go here to this.
Shuso.
And you have to answer the questions, because answering those questions is a great training in responding in a teaching position.
I thought it was the head monk or the senior teacher.
It's the senior practicer. Shuso. Yeah, but senior just for the practice period, just for the time of usually session and practice period, and then it ends with the Shuso ceremony. And then that person just slips back into anonymity again.
And when you say practice period, you mean the 90 days?
Well, we do 6 weeks usually. It depends on the Sangha. We do two of them a year, one in the summer and one in the winter.
In fact, it's ending ours. Mm-hmm. Well, this Shishin is ending our...
This Shishin is ending our practice period. Yes. Yes. Carolyn?
So I'd like to say something about the responsibility. And it's in the way of following Dennis's sincere example of addressing in public words or actions that take place in public. And to thank Dennis for his response to me this morning after the ceremony, after the service, which you weren't here for, but which is part of the responsibility. And this was the first time that I had done this service in this form, so I may have confused Dennis and perhaps others by my sequence of bows, but what I want to emphasize is Dennis's response to me as we were lined up for breakfast, and he came by with his bowl to go around to his side. He just gave me a very kind and compassionate shoulder squeeze. Thank you.
Auntie, did you say anything about funeral when you were talking about piece of cloth? I didn't understand why I used the word funeral.
Because in some traditions, and in Buddhist tradition, bodies were wrapped up in some kind of sheet, and then they removed the sheet after the body was put on the funeral pyre. And then the sheet is just left over, and then a monk would be able to take that sheet and use it for okesa.
Their bakusus were taken off. Do they have different names now?
No, actually, I didn't change their names. I got very confused about their names because each have a Jukai name, and then when they were ordained, they were given new names. And I try to keep, I have 2 pages of a long list of everybody who's done Jukai and priest ordination, and I thought I had it right, but I made up all their papers with the wrong names on them. So, yeah. So they don't have new names; they have their priest names. they'll get new papers.
Just wanted to offer my gratitude for taking on the responsibility and stepping back. Oh my God. And they're the first ones for Angie in this lineage, so it's very special. It takes a lot of people to take care of all of us. And I really get it, you know. Good Doan for, you know, Doshi, it takes, you know, our cooks, it takes everyone. And, I'm just so very grateful. It's just been a very sweet Shishin, and it's kind of like icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm. Woohoo!
Thank you, Angie. It's, for making it just available. Thank you.
Well, Donna Lynn, you're central to this, which is why I asked you to help, because you've been a sewing teacher sort of ad hoc, just because nobody else was available, and you very gravely just stepped right up and made yourself available, and that was a very big help. And continues because of your encouragement of people and the way that you encourage all of us. That's a big job all by itself. And also that by all means, you should be the first one because you're the first one who was ordained. But we don't really measure that stuff.
Especially when you're slow.
Well, you had other issues to take care of, and they were more important even than this. But I think we all know that you're here too. You've done it even though you haven't done it. Truth is, we've all done it. Yes. Yes.
So,
yeah.
What happens to the old names? Are they like old passwords that you discard, or...?
Yeah, you forget them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I keep them in my book, but you could keep it if you want to. I mean, when you get your black robe, you can beg to keep your ocean name. Well, finish your robe and we'll talk about it.
You don't change all our names. I think a couple, we have the same. Well, my name's still the same. Of course, you know, we already talked about me, but...
Yeah.
I would like to talk about the step down. It's so real. It's very real. It's more than one step. The first, I kind of went along kind of quickly because I'm old. And my first robe Angie gave me, we had a wonderful ceremony and we got out and Angie said, "Oh, we put it on the wrong side out." And this robe, I was trying, you know, to jury-rig it so that I could actually put it on. And, you know, Carolyn helped me so much, and so did Donna Lynn. But I sewed the straps on, I thought, really strong. And the minute I went to tie them just now, the strap came right off. So that was me holding up my throat. So it's like, yeah, okay. You know, that was great. It's just consistent.
One more little come down.
That's what's planned.
Usually, this is a very long, drawn out, mostly secret business between the teacher and the student, in which the student and the teacher meet with a helper for a week and create the papers, which is writing out the names of all the ancestors, starting with the Buddhas before Shakyamuni Buddha. So it's a list of over 100 names and different ways, a long list like this and another one like this. And then the teacher adds various things to it, and it's all kind of esoteric, some of it very mysterious. And then at the end, every day you go to each of the altars of the temple and offer incense and do 9 bows, 9 prostrations, morning, noon, and night, all 7 days. And then on the last day, you get together with your teacher in a room that's been hung with red cloth, and the teacher offers the Buddha chair to the student and then bows to the student and sort of uplifts the student into Buddha position. So guess what Koban did? he was with Vanya, his closest student and his longest term student, in Switzerland, where Vanya lives. And they were skiing, or they were out in the mountains somewhere. And Koban reached into his shirt and pulled out some papers and said, "You may need these sometime. Take these papers." And that was it. That was the whole thing. So when Koban died, we really didn't know what to do. We didn't even know what Vanya's position was exactly. Was he the one who inherited from Koban? Because Koban didn't give us, any of us, the position of his followers. We just sort of did what we did as best we could. So I thought we should do something in it much more in Koban's way. And then I remembered that, of course, I received my okesa here in this room during a memorial service for somebody's grandmother who had just died during Sesshin. She rushed to Sesshin and went to Koban and said, "My grandmother died, and please, can we have a service right now?" So Koban gathered us all together like this and did the service at the altar, and then he turned to me, who was sitting out here with everybody, and said, "Come to the altar." And I did, and there was my okesa that I had made 3 years before. And he put it on my head, and we chanted the Daizai 3 times. And then he addressed me and sent me on my way. I didn't learn how to do it, how to wear it. He told me on the way out that it wasn't mine, that I must be sure to remember that it's not mine, said that it's just in case somebody comes from Japan and forgot to bring theirs, you can give it to them to wear. So I didn't wear it for many, long, long time. I was scared to wear it. And then Blanche just thought that was ridiculous. And so she persuaded me to come with her to Japan to practice at Suzuki Roshi's place. And she said, you bring that okesa with you. And she insisted on teaching me how to wear it and teaching me how to serve the altar and all those things. So I thought, you know, our tradition is a little different from... So this was a sort of version of that.
So then you got your papers from Banya sometime later?
Yes, not until Coben died.
Mm-hmm. And then 2003, actually, is when you...
Yeah. That's right. And Carolyn and Jean and I had all three been asked by Coben to sew a brown robe, and which meant complete transmission. I don't know what he thought this was. I really guess that he thought it was just because we both thought I was dying. I had cancer and had just had a big surgery and was recovering, and he just said, go to Green Gulch and sew. And I think he just wanted me to do some kind of healing practice. Otherwise, I don't understand it.
I think he's the most mysterious person. I think he probably saw you going with Blanche, you know? I mean...
Oh, he didn't want me to go with Blanche at all. Mm-hmm. He was mad. Yeah. But it's...
So you and Jean and Carolyn, I mean...
Yes.
With Vanya, I mean, that's a good story.
We were in the middle of sewing okesas, each one of us, a brown one that Coben had asked us to do. And then he died. And so we didn't know what to do. And then it was decided in the greater Sangha that Vanya would be the heir. So we asked Vanya what we should do, and he said, finish the okesas, and then we'll have a service of some kind. And what he did was just give us the papers. And then we had some little service at the altar during the funeral. Or maybe it was a year later.
It was Nahani or March 2003.
It was the next year after the funeral. Came back.
It was at Tanjoi.
That's right. That's right. So then he just gave me my teaching stick back. He asked for it, and he held it at the altar, and then he gave it back to me and said, please continue to teach. So... that was my transmission.
And what did you do with all of your raka suits? That's nice. Jean and Carolyn and you.
What did we do with them?
You guys signed them all?
Oh, we signed each other's raka suits. Instead of writing on them.
Because Vanya said, I'm not your teacher.
Yes.
So... you didn't know what to
name. Right. So Jean and Carolyn signed mine, and I signed theirs. It's really sweet.
Is this the Jean that's in Santa Cruz?
Yeah. No, the Jean in Santa Fe.
The other Carolyn.
Yeah. With COVID, nothing is ever straightforward, and it's always very interesting and has more to it than otherwise you would find, I think, in practice.
I think when John asked the other day about, you know, COVID style and whatnot, that illustrates.
Yeah.
Here's COVID. I mean, I would just remember the stories. In fact, I don't even know what folklore or truth anymore, but when Suzuki Roshi was dying, he asked Koban to, you know, document all the ceremonies and services. And I understand that there's binders of handwritten notes that Reb and,
Baker
and others, copied for COVID and put in binders, and it's still in the, the library down at Zen Center.
Yeah.
And then he comes up here and he teaches, Angie and all of his Dharma heirs, Orioki, tending the altar, chanting the Heart Sutra. Am I missing one? Is it three? Chanting the Heart Sutra, altar, Orioki. Well, and that was what he emphasized more than any other ceremony.
Just the basics.
He knew all of it. He was the head student at Heiji. So it just, to me, is fascinating, and for me, I sense that that's because he had so much faith and confidence in the Dharma that he could do that.
Yes.
Every time I think about that, I just.
But he also took his students around with him when he went places. He also took his students with him when he did, for instance, a wedding or a child's blessing or something like that. And just demonstrate it, which is the old-fashioned way of learning, is just being with somebody and watching. But we used to watch him with an eagle eye at the altar, especially to see how he was doing things, and he would do it differently. I just think I had it down, and then he'd do something else entirely different. So when I asked him how to do weddings, he said, well, make it up. He said, you know the basics. And the basics are the Heart Sutra and the precepts, basically. And every kind of thing that we do always at least includes the precepts. Weddings, funerals, baby blessings, everything. And usually the Heart Sutra also. So it wasn't so difficult, but it wasn't so, he didn't teach in the new way. It was the old, deeper way where it comes inside.
Well, I wanted to speak to, because I never practiced with Koban. I met him and did some sittings with Zazen with him on occasion, but never really practiced with him. So I want to speak to Angie's traditions, and following in what she just said, having done many services with Angie in many places and many situations, they've always changed.
Writing the guidebook is a big deal. I can't tell you how many revisions. And though that is our name, we have the blessing and we have the hindrance of not having a temple. So we don't have a fixed altar. We don't have anything fixed. And that's what I think is so cool. I mean, even this afternoon, we're winging it as we, did this. I mean, we learned to just watch Angie and see what she might do, And that's the way, right? It's never fixed.
You should see her work together a wedding on this for the moment.
Yeah, I believe it.
The universe itself is constantly creating itself.
Yes.
Recreating itself.
Yes. Constantly, Sadiq. Yeah. Hard to keep up. Yeah.
I just feel a profound gratitude that he brought the essence of it to us and said, partake, don't try too hard to figure out the form, get the, you said it already, but deeply personal connections that he made with people was what he was trying to transmit.
Yeah. He said, I am so grateful to Zazen. And then tears came. That's the essence.
The story about, I think it was Vanya that talked about the papers. So Vanya, Cohen apparently just loved to ski, so he just loved to go visit Vanya. And some of the better pictures, a lot around here, are when he was a young man, because that's when he settled, in the Haiku Zendo and then founded Chikoji. And some of the really nice pictures, though, is when he's up in Europe, spent quite a bit of time in Europe skiing. And you could just see, he just loved it up there. And apparently when his good friend Katagori Roshi died, it shook him up, and that's when he decided to do the papers, Vanya told me.
Oh, is that right?
That's what it was. He had died
he
just
before. Saw that he, was...
And he was just so shaken by it that Vanya said that. He just, spent a night in his room, and then the next time that he went skiing, he handed it to him. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure Vanya told me that story. It makes sense, huh?
It does make perfect sense.
Good thing.
But Vanya wasn't, Vanya, I think, in a way, considered Coven as, a really good friend.
Yes. Yeah, they were more ski buddies.
Yeah. They were, and that's what, it was...
But Coben was helping him establish Pureg
and
Felsentor
and that's right.
All those temples, and that was a big piece of it, too.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad that we were all here for this. I'm so happy that we could all participate like this. It's wonderful. And we have one more day. One more little piece of Dogen, if you like.
You loved singing yesterday.
I did. On purpose. I wanted to fool you a little bit anyway.
Well, it just came to me to say, Angie, that you said, I'm so glad you could all be here. I want to say it must be the fifth day when you feel like you're in the right place and in the right time in the company.
That's right.
The very best company.
Exactly.
Yesterday, not so good, huh?
Perfect, Carol.
Good point, Carol.
That's exactly right.
And the refrigerator is fixed.
Oh, hallelujah. I wonder what he thought. Listening to us at lunch.
Afterwards he said, do you live here?
Do you live here?
I don't know. So I live in San Diego, I guess.
All right, let's chant the Bodhisattva vows.
Delusions are inexhaustible. impassable. I vow.